Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
You say you support the Iranian people, but you're pronouncing our country's name wrong. Our country is named Iran, not Iran. Please, once and for all, let's get this clear. Second of all, are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people in its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movement over the past few years.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. Yeah, that being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. I grew up in a white family with obviously an African-American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very, very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So, you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that. And obviously it takes longer to understand. And through education, I think it's super important, like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So yeah, it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez. Thank you so much for joining us. Marco Marquez either meditating or sleeping or just being unbelievably rude to my wife as she said hello to him and he ignored her. And I said, no, go in there and say hi. He just didn't see you. He's meditating or something. Waving.
Well, it's a good way to get ready for the
just
show.
Just looking down.
You meditate, get in the zone.
You mad at Susan for something?
Not at all. No, if anything, I'd be mad at you before her.
Don't take it out on Susan.
Yeah, no, right? Insulting. Well, that was a feel-good clip to get this Tuesday going. 100 miles an hour, what do you think of that? That was the press conference you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah. I know that soundbite's making the rounds. I looked last night, I had like 3 million views on it.
What do you think of that?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on it, I guess, but I think the most importantly for this, I think Tyler Adams handled himself incredibly well in that situation. A 23-year-old kid, you know, put up in a situation like that. Very impressed with how he handled himself. Very impressed.
Man, 23-year-old man.
23-year-old man.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that a kid?
Feels like a kid to me. Right. Look back at what I was at 23. I think I was definitely a kid. He seems like a man, so yeah. Shouldn't put that on him.
Right. I was having a child when I was 23, so.
I
was with child.
You were a man much quicker than me.
Was I? Well, hold on.
I think I was.
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah. How old are you?
25.
He's still a kid. Come on.
What does that sound? What is that mucus voice? You keep your ass in there.
Oh, I'm staying in
right now.
That's why I got the headphones.
You
there.
Like to come in here and
nope.
Mingle. No, not with that. Don't you come in here spreading that. Where'd you get that at?
Where'd I get what?
Oh, your dad?
Yeah. Yep. Everyone was sick this past week. But what were we going to do? Not have a Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I'm there with you if it was my decision.
Right. Yeah.
I would have said, nieces and nephews, stay home.
Let me tell you, if there's, I don't spend much time around extended family anyway, but if someone's sick, see you next year. Bye-bye. That's probably a lot more difficult for people that are, like, the amount of family that I'm close to involves Susan and my kids and my dad and his wife. And that's the end. So that's a little bit more controllable.
Fewer variables.
Yeah.
I'm glad you get to have some control. That's all Renee in our family.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I'm not proud of it. I don't have any extended family, really, that I'm close to. So that's not something that's not a plus. That's because there's so much drama in both my wife's side of the family and my side of the family and things that we grew up with and around that we did not want to expose our children to.
Mm-hmm.
We decided, hey, we'll just make a lot of love, have a lot of kids, and restart this family.
There you go. Yeah. You...
It's a chore you can get behind.
And I'm not complaining.
Man. I don't know what's going on this morning.
That right there. Sicky McSickerson stays in his glass box.
But he's here pushing the buttons today.
You are pushing the buttons, but then you got to sterilize those buttons.
That's right.
That's right. We got some Clorox wipes or something.
What do you use those for?
Well,
in
you know,
the bathroom?
Whatever you need.
No.
I think those are baby wipes.
Now you sound, do you feel okay?
Better than yesterday, yeah.
You were tuckered out yesterday. I feel bad for you. I could tell you were very short. You were very snappy yesterday, snapping at people like a turtle.
It's because every time I open my mouth, it hurts. My body hurts. I'm in pain.
But you're better today?
I'm feeling much better today. I slept for about 4 hours yesterday. I was sleeping this morning when you and Susan got in, because I slept through all the soccer games yesterday.
So that's what you were doing? You were sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
We're in here. She goes, I think he's meditating. I don't know if he does that. I think he's, I don't know what he's doing.
Sleep is, I think, a form of meditation, really.
I'm glad I was going to go in there and show her the new board. I'm glad I didn't, you know.
No, you stay out of here.
That's right. So we got lots to talk about, lots going on. Today is the big, as you can tell by Nate's festive attire, which that boy, that reporter from Iran would hate you right now in the way you're dressed.
Yeah.
He would mock you and take shots at you.
Well,
So be it.
You know?
What was that young player's name?
Tyler Adams.
He's
team captain.
Would he have gotten in trouble if he'd have punched the reporter?
I don't know. I don't know how. Probably. I don't know what the FIFA rules are on that, but probably. Right. FIFA's, you know.
Because he is like at 23. Like you were talking about 23.
Mm-hmm.
23, I wasn't a kid, but I didn't have control of my emotions.
Yeah.
Probably my reaction. I would have attempted to punch him. But I was boxing back then, so that's that would have been a natural reaction.
Yeah.
So.
According to my wife, the male frontal lobe is not fully formed until 26 years old or so on average. And that's the thing that controls your impulses, you know?
Right.
So that's why you're probably more likely to punch somebody for asking you that when you're 23 than maybe when you're 43 or something.
Nah, but 43, I'd have still punched.
Still would have punched.
Yeah.
Well, I get that.
Not now, though, because I'm super mellow, as you can tell.
Yes. Very.
I never get mad anymore.
Very mellow. So, yeah, no, he's team captain. Came up through the New York Red Bull system. I think he's the most important player for the United States, and I think a very impressive young man.
So now this is a very dramatic, there's some hate out there, right, between these two squads.
Yeah, it's complicated because I don't know where the Iranian players how they feel about it all. I'm assuming they feel, I mean, gosh, it's silly for me to assume what's going through their minds, but there's all this unrest in their homeland. And so in the first game, they did not sing their national anthem. All the players stood completely silent. And supposedly that was a show of support for all the protesters who were, you know, asking for equal rights for women and stuff back in Iran. And
that's interesting. They would question any country about how people are treated.
Well, there's that state-run media. You know, those are state-run reporters that are being told by their government to ask those questions, from what I, from everything I've read. And so, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But not that the United States is completely whatever. The point, there's a report by CNN I saw last night that families of the players on the Iranian national team have been threatened with imprisonment and torture if they don't behave properly today. Meaning, like, stand up and sing the national anthem loudly and show support for your country. So how do they feel about the whole thing? Right. I don't know.
Nobody's perfect. No country's perfect. But it's pretty clear, the more you find out about every place else in the world, the United States is the greatest country in the world. And I would never want to live anyplace else. So.
There's a long history between these two. Countries, obviously. But the soccer game itself, the stakes are high, you know, just from the standpoint that I don't believe Iran's ever gone through to the knockout rounds, and if they get a tie today, they do that. And the United States are trying to get to the knockout rounds, and they have to win, so.
Nervous?
Oh, yeah, very nervous, very nervous. It's kind of a wish 1 o'clock would hurry up and get here.
Now, last week, I asked, because I did have interest. I was interested in sniffing around this guy. Should the Chiefs be interested in Melvin Gordon?
Right.
And everyone laughed me off out of the studio.
Did we?
Mocked me out. Like, no. Chiefs are signing Melvin Gordon to the practice squad. And then, boy, that was what a negative response on the Twitter last night, which is not a total, you know, a proper representation of what all Chiefs fans feel. But I didn't see anyone like, oh, good. One guy tweeted at me and said, gross. Like, oh, great.
Gross.
How, you know, and even Phil. Like, I thought Phil would be, you know, Phil, he's the first person I call whenever the Chiefs sign someone or the Chiefs make a move. You know? And I'm, you know, I'm in one room and I call him. He's doing homework. He's you know. Please don't bother me. I'm working on a paper, which I respect that. He has great grades. I respect him for that. But I call him, and I said, did you see who the Chiefs signed? He goes, no. I said, guess. Because I just can't tell him. You know how I am. He goes, well, I don't think it was Odell. I said, no, it wasn't. Guess. He goes, please don't do this. I said, guess. I said, another offensive position. Another offensive position. So we went, you know, and finally he goes, don't tell me Melvin Gordon. I said, why not? He goes, what, does he come in here and fumble away some wins for us? He goes, calm down. Damn it, Phil. So then even Phil was super negative. I said, all right, get back to that paper, man. And that's, but I think Phil, that was a lot of, I saw a lot of people saying that. No, I'm not hoping that Melvin Gordon comes in and fumbles a bunch of games away for the Chiefs. But I do think it's, you know, why not? Sign him to the practice squad. That's another indication that Clyde Edwards-Helaire ain't coming back anytime soon.
No.
And that also begs the question, do you think we've seen him for the last time in a Chiefs uniform?
I'm trying to remember, does he have one more year on the... I mean, I could see them keeping him around as a third-string guy.
It's almost money. Like, what's the point now?
Yeah.
Like, because there's two things that are true. Number one, that we knew going into the season, he will not be available for all 17 games.
Right.
Right? That's proven now. Yeah. Okay? Number two, before he got hurt, he had fallen down the depth chart.
Yes.
And so, I don't know. I'm just curious. There's a chance, right?
Oh,
he
yeah.
Come back. There's a there's a shot here.
There's a shot. There's a shot. He doesn't. It wouldn't be crazy to think that they draft another running back in the mid rounds, and all of a sudden he finds himself out of a job. Yeah.
He lost his playing time to a seventh round pick and a guy that that had a chance to sign with every other team in the league, and nobody signed him. And Jerick McKinnon, and the Chiefs brought him back late. So, but I mean Melvin Gordon, he was somebody said hope it's. Chargers Melvin Gordon. So, yeah, good point. He did have but here's what I'm going to tell you. Anyone that had a bad experience with what's going on in Denver right now, I don't know if I'm going to blame the player. Yes, he had trouble holding on to the football, but he was a part of a circus. That's a circus. That is, right now, the probably the worst, and it has, you know, the worst coached team in the NFL. They just got their asses kicked by Sam Darnold in Carolina. I mean, I enjoy this. I like reading some commentary from Denver leading up to games now and after the games to see what they're saying. It's entertaining. And they were, hey, leading up to this, here's a game the Broncos can win, get things turned around, final stretch of the season. This is clearly a team that the Broncos should be able to handle. And they were getting their asses kicked, right?
Yep.
And it's so I mean, that coach has been done. He's done. And before that, that Vic Fangio, who still thinks Joe Flacco's the answer to any question someone asks him. And so they've been lacking in coaching for a while there in Denver. And so I'm not going to say that it's all Melvin Gordon's fault. Did he have trouble holding on to the football? Sure, right? But did they utilize running backs the right way? No. Have they utilized anything the right way? Not really. And so it's worth a shot. I don't know. Like, what was your reaction? I'm not telling you that, hey, he's the go-to guy. Here we go. No, that's Isaiah Pacheco. And the third down back is Jerick McKinnon. But then you got Rojo and Melvin Gordon. But guess what? This is the NFL. You know what could happen on Sunday? Someone else could get hurt.
So that's it right there.
So is a reasonable insurance policy, okay, I'm fine with it. Because just say, for instance, what happens if one of the three guys I just mentioned rolls his ankle on Sunday?
I mean, I think, and that's very possible. We've seen it before, right? I mean, we saw it.
We just saw it with Clyde.
Yeah, and we saw it in the Super Bowl season. You know, guys get banged up through the course of the year. Yeah, if they were signing him to come in and be the starter, I wouldn't be excited about that. But that's not what they're doing. Yeah. They're signing a veteran that knows how to play to come in and provide depth in case something else happens.
Or maybe they like him and they think he's a fit and they're going to take a look at him.
Yeah.
Testable. Great. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
And so just it was.
I'm all for it.
I can't tell if Marco's like negative about it or he just doesn't feel good. Are you negative about the Melvin Gordon signing to the practice squad?
Not at all. I don't. What I'm trying to find out is this Brian. Learn more about this Brian Edwards signing. I don't know if he's a possible return option because he's someone else that would just sign to the practice squad. But I'm. You know what? To sign a veteran running back who has fresh legs. He's played this season already.
He's kind of had fresh legs. They hadn't used a whole lot. But you know what I like? I don't know. I kind of want him to play both games against the Broncos.
Yeah.
Because you know what would happen. He'll run wild, not fumble, and just insult to injury. That's, I don't know. I'm sorry.
I mean.
I'm so petty.
It's true, though. It's true.
So that's all you got. Because but then Denver's reaction. Oh, of course he goes to Kansas City. He won't fumble. He's going to do this and do that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to watch him get a Super Bowl ring. Like, yay!
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Now you're talking my language, yeah. Denver fans. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
This is Nobody do it like they do it, so show us some love. This is
do you want me to rain on your parade?
No, not really. No.
So are you campaigning for this Missouri-Kansas Liberty Bowl?
I wouldn't say I'm campaigning for it.
If you're campaigning for it, just do it.
I'm not campaigning for it, so... I'm not against it. I'm not campaigning against it. I guess I'm not really involved with the campaign. I'd vote for it, I guess.
It's like Missouri and Missouri players, and I think Missouri, the athletic department, and Gabe DeArmond has written about this at PowerMizzou.com, but their first choice is the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah.
Number one, because it's the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah.
And
I assume that's in the big stadium where the Raiders play.
It's in Las Vegas. Yeah. And you talk about kids, you know, college age. Where would you like to go?
Shreveport.
Las Vegas.
Oh, Las Vegas.
And if you're a fan, I would think, you know, it might get to Memphis, but I feel like a December trip to Las Vegas is not a negative.
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't mind going to Las Vegas.
And that bowl is played December 17th, whereas the other bowls that they are up for, or at least in discussion with, Liberty Bowl and Birmingham Bowl, are like the December 27th and 28th, which means they'd be traveling and miss Christmas with their family and everything else,
mm-hmm.
and they would rather play December 17th and then be home for Christmas. The other thing, and you tell me if you think this is a reasonable gripe, right? Mizzou, or at least the athletic department, they don't want to split up the fan base because they're trying to build momentum for a basketball program that hasn't lost yet with a new coach and get everyone behind the basketball program. And the Liberty Bowl will be played basically at the same time as Mizzou hosting their SEC opener against Kentucky. Do you think that's a legitimate reason why not want to play in the Liberty Bowl?
Yeah, I get that.
So the Liberty Bowl starts at 4:30 and the Mizzou Kentucky game starts at 6. Because I was just like researching and mm-hmm. to see, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, we know that means that the football game will go right through the basketball game because football games last roughly 7 hours in college.
Right, right. And, you know, they're trying to obviously build support and momentum for the basketball program.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So this is a stupid question. Is there any chance KU could play Missouri in the Las Vegas Bowl, or is that like a different conference affiliation?
I think that is a Pac-12.
Pac-12 matchup.
So that would be UCLA or Oregon State or Washington State.
Gotcha.
So.
Oregon State knocked off the Ducks last weekend, I saw.
Oregon State beat Mizzou in the Sun Bowl in 2006 that I'm still pissed off about when they went for two late. The quarterbacks in that game, Chase Daniel and Matt Moore, former Kansas City Chiefs. So there's your revenge for the Sun Bowl.
Where's the Sun Bowl? Is that? I don't remember.
They actually played on the Sun, believe it or
not.
Wow,
that seems like a tough environment.
So have you been looking at projections? Is there any place you would particularly, we're getting ready to talk to Lance Leipold, is there something you would like for Kansas, based on anything you've seen?
Well. I haven't really, I got to be honest, I haven't really looked at the bowl projections lately. I've seen the one about Kansas and the Liberty Bowl with Missouri, and that's about it. I guess I should probably start to look into that here.
I want you to care.
Well, I do care.
Bowling!
I'm very excited the KU's in a bowl game. Very excited.
You going to bet on it and gamble on it heavily?
Well, I don't know about that.
You should?
Well, I mean, I'll watch it. I already have a rooting interest. I don't know if I need more than that.
You got DraftKings Sportsbook, though.
I do have DraftKings Sportsbook, and I went 1-for-2 in my Chiefs bets this.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I had a parlay. I needed 70 yards out of Pacheco. I got 69.
That's usually not a bad thing.
I know. Usually not disappointed with 69, but I was disappointed. Felt
in this deal.
Yeah.
So you have nothing that you're just any bowl game, any opponent.
I need to look.
Bring it on.
I need to look into this. I need to look into it. I'm just glad they're playing in a bowl game, man. I mean, I can't wait to watch it.
Marco,
wish I could go.
You present yourself as a Missouri fan. Are you good with that? Or do you crave the matchup against Kansas? Would you rather have them go to the Vegas Bowl and so you could focus on Mizzou, Kentucky on that day? Do you care who they play?
No, I want it to be Kansas. I outside of Kansas, I don't care who they play. But Kansas would be the top choice. It's just one of those.
That would be the most fun game, but I would like to not. Outside of Kansas, I don't want to play. I don't want to play Oklahoma State again.
So now this says this CBS Syracuse. Has Kansas BYU in the First Responder Bowl in Dallas, Texas.
How about that one?
I'm up for that. A little trip down
That'd
to
be a
Dallas.
Fun game.
December 27th, a couple days after Christmas. You know, it's
you go down there. I'll talk to Chad after the show, and I will have you if you want. I'll have you at any bowl site.
We could drive down to Dallas. You know,
hell
it's a little
yes,
family
you
trip.
Could. Absolutely.
You're on vacation that week, though, so I don't think I can pull that off.
No, you can pull it off. Have Lebo's ass in here, and you'd be down there.
You think Lebo would sign up for that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'd love it. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me play a clip from Andy Reid, number two, Marco. Special teams was the topic, and the teams have been anything but special. How many times I've heard someone use that line? But I like it. Mediocre teams is what they've been. They haven't quite lived up to the expectations, but here Andy Reid says that he hopes they'll improve.
Yeah, so, we had the fake on us. This time is our second time we've had one, which is true, obviously. But we anticipated that happening and worked on it. It just, they got us. I think when you... One great learning place for the players, especially the young players, is to put them on special teams. And then you just continually progress and get better as the season goes on. There are going to be some early issues as we go here. And then you hope that it continues to pick up as we go forward. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Ronald Jones from yesterday's game. I know he didn't play a lot, but when he was in there, what you thought about how he what he gave you?
Yeah, listen, I thought he ran hard. I think he had a lot of energy going and was everything was fast, it looked like, to him. But he was productive. He had some good, strong runs. He caught the ball well when he had the opportunity to do that. And had a big gain there. So, I thought for the first time coming in, I thought he did well.
So that was Andy Reid. Let me play a clip from one of Nate's favorites and, of course, one of mine, Booger McFarland.
Yeah.
From ESPN. Here, Booger McFarland says the Chiefs' defense is making the difference.
They haven't played their best ball yet, but their defense. We know what they're going to do on the offensive side of the ball with Patrick and those weapons. Pacheco, I think we're going to see a lot more of him down the stretch, more physical runner, a better vision out of the backfield, a whole nine. But their defense, those linebackers, and Chris Jones. We talk a lot about Aaron Donald, and we say Aaron Donald is the best defensive tackle in football. Chris Jones is right behind him. And he's dominant, and he makes big plays in big-time moments. And as long as he's healthy, to go with Frank Clark and those linebackers, Kansas City's starting to become more of a complete team instead of a one-sided team dominated by the offense.
Is it weird that whenever I hear Booger McFarland speak, I think of him in that chair up in the crane that the Booger Mobile during Monday Night Football they used to have him in? Like up there in just like a throne.
Yeah.
Used to go around. And
pointing out relatively obvious things about the game.
Blocking hundreds of people at a time from viewing the game live when he was there in the stadium.
Now what the Chiefs want to do here is get a stop so they can get the ball back.
See, that's more the Troy Aikman.
Oh, yeah. Troy Aikman definitely does
that. Joe Buck's like, what are you looking at here, Troy? Well, when it's third and four, what you're trying to do is get 5 yards. Thank you, Troy.
That'll get you a first down. New set of downs.
Troy, what's the game plan for the Chiefs in this matchup? If you could somehow come up with more points than the Bengals in this game, that's what you'd like to do. Thanks, Troy.
Right.
Right.
I like Booger McFarland. I actually still watch
NFL. I'd rather listen
NFL
to Booger McFarland than Troy Aikman. Yeah. I can promise you that.
Well, Booger McFarland actually seems like he's having a good time. Like, he is enjoying the job. He likes watching football and talking about it.
Okay, so
Troy Aikman just seems like everything's a pain in his ass.
I always go back with Booger on the one when he called Kelvin Benjamin, said he's one Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Is it false?
I like
you. You remember
Popeye's
when I was
biscuit.
Out there at Arrowhead when he got there, and I was I think Kelvin Benjamin just showed up. I go, but I think it's a defensive end, so I'm not sure. Like, that's a
he was a big hoss,
big man.
Yeah.
Speaking of having some fun. And so, you know, Mizzou fans are up in arms about Dominic Lovett. He's going to enter the transfer portal December 5th. So then people worried, oh, no, is Luther Burden going to follow? Did you see the tweet from Luther Burden yesterday?
He's got a big chip on his shoulder.
This is a good one. This is what you're talking about here. This is how you work NIL. Luther Burden tweeted out, I'm now playing with a chip on my shoulder in this bowl game. Let's go to work. I'm not going anywhere. Tiger for life, M-I-Z. Go to Schnucks and grab a bag of LB3 chips so you can snack like you have a chip on your shoulder during the big game, too. Hashtag Mizzou for life, football emoji, tiger emoji. And there he is, literally.
He's got a chip
Marco,
on his shoulder.
Down, he has a giant chip on his shoulder. Now, that's good. Whoever came up with that tweet. And those, I mean, you've verified that these chips are delicious.
Oh, man. Yeah, some of the best tasting potato chips I've had.
They're very good.
Yeah.
And so, and he's going to be playing with a big chip on his shoulder. So hopefully that means he's staying. So, you like that, Marco? That's good. Doesn't that make you want to get some of those chips to watch the game?
I have to get another bag because my niece opened my unopened bag.
Oh.
And she didn't even finish the chips. She just left them on the floor.
She didn't
in my
like
room.
Them. Maybe a little too hot and spicy.
Oh, no. She ate plenty of them. Oh. But I had a bag in my room. And I was not going to open it because it's a collectible, I think. I'm pretty
positive.
Seriously,
you're going to collect a bag of potato chips?
I collected 6 boxes of Mahomes Magic Crush.
Yeah. And what are you doing with those?
They just sit on my dresser. Well, take up space.
Here's another tweet that
cool.
I would like to alert you to. Frank Clark last night. Tell me what you think of this tweet. Did you see this tweet from Frank Clark?
No.
Over here wondering why my damn back so sore. My dumbass then body slammed 2 O linemen and tackled dude with my back. Shaking my head. Where Rick at? Rick Burkholder. Marco sent me that tweet. Not that that was...
I don't think you got a tweet, Rick, if you're Frank. Ought to have him on speed dial.
Right. I can't read this tweet, though, although I want to. Lamar Jackson got into a little bit of trouble for a tweet that he had answering a critic on Twitter. And I know you sent me this, and I had retweeted this. And I don't know, do you feel like he had to sit down with John Harbaugh and talk about this? Do you think that was necessary?
Yeah.
Really? Were you offended by that tweet?
No.
That Lamar Jackson made? So
you think I was entertained by it.
So here's the best part of it, though. I only became, because it got deleted. Mm-hmm. I was only alerted by the fact that Matt Cassel retweeted a screenshot of it. And so a fan, and he tagged Lamar Jackson, so he wanted Lamar to see it, said, when someone is asking for over $250 million guaranteed like Lamar Jackson, games like this should not come to Justin Tucker. Let Lamar walk and spend that money on a well-rounded team. Lamar Jackson sees this and responds, boy, STFU. Shut the up. Y'all be capping too much on this app. MF never smelt a football field, never did blank but eat blank. And I'll let you fill in the words. Never did blank but eat blank. And so then Matt Castle retweeted the screenshot of this and said, thank goodness I didn't have this app when I played, laughing emoji. Can you imagine what Chiefs fans would have been tweeting at Matt Castle if they could have been able, if they would have been able to tag him?
Well,
back
they
in the
cheered
day?
When he got hurt, right?
Yeah, that sucked. Yeah.
So
not everyone did.
No, but if enough people are willing to cheer when he got hurt, they'd probably also be willing to fire off some somewhat unkind tweets.
Right. Right. So, well, there you go. I mean, that was a very aggressive tweet from Lamar Jackson, who then deleted it. And John Harbaugh said he sat down. Like, I wonder what that talk went like.
You know, it's probably not necessary to engage in fans' meaningless tweets.
I liked it.
I think he cares what John says, though, considering he might be fired at the end of the year. On the hot seat.
He's going to be fired.
Harbaugh's on the hot seat?
Who the hell said that?
I got a couple of friends that are Ravens fans that want him out. They've seen enough of him. It's very generic.
That's stupid.
That qualifies as hot seat? You got a couple buddies that want him out?
He's in there laughing. I don't know whether the...
Harbaugh. John Harbaugh.
7-4, and they've had...
How many Super Bowls Harbaugh won?
One.
So what's his record?
Like right
his,
now?
His career record. Is that mean, like, how many losing seasons has he even had? This is insane. I'm loving this.
Are you just saying that because you have a couple of friends that want him gone, or have you seen somewhere that he actually is on the hot seat, Marco?
Just a couple of friends.
A couple of friends have had
it. This dude's 144-92 in his career. 6-10 winning percentage.
When's the last time he's made an AFC championship game, though? Underachieved in the
playoffs?
It's
been a minute. He's made three AFC championship games, won one of them when they went to the Super Bowl and won it. The last 3 years in the playoffs, in 18, they lost to the Chargers in the wild card game. In 19, they lost to the Titans in the divisional game. In 20, they lost to the Bills in the divisional game. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs. This year, they're 7-4 and tied for first in the division.
I would say that the fact that they've made it work with Lamar Jackson and continue to win is a testament to Harbaugh, not a knock against him.
Like, you had to choose, what would you, fire Harbaugh and keep Lamar, or move on from Lamar and keep Harbaugh?
Keep Lamar.
I didn't see Nate's face. I knew that was going to happen. Say it.
How many blown leads have they had this year? Four? Five?
Yeah, they, okay, of the 11 games, they're 7-4, right?
Yeah.
They've had a double-digit lead in every game. And every other team that's had that in NFL history was 11-0.
And I will say, I mean, they're at the fault of their defensive coordinator leaving for Buffalo.
I think he's a great coach. They've had quite a few injuries. I mean, the last couple of weeks, their number one wide receiver has been DeMarcus Robinson. And nothing against D-Rob. We all love D-Rob, but I mean, when you watch D-Rob, did you ever think, well, there's a number one wide receiver?
No, not even a number two wide receiver. But you know, I think that they've made the most out of what they have in Lamar Jackson by allowing him to be the runner that he needs to be effective, right? And they've shown they can put up numbers and win games doing that. But to me, at the end of the day, when you got a guy who is just not, he's 25th in the NFL in passing accuracy, you know, and
so
that's
what?
Not like it's just, that's just this year because he doesn't have talent. Like that's always been the knock, right?
He's a dynamic player.
He is dynamic, but. Where was he in your ranking of top five quarterbacks
he's
when
not
we talked
in it.
About him yesterday?
Not in it. Not in it.
Yeah.
Is he in yours?
No.
Is he in yours, Marco? Top five.
Mm.
If he is, say it. Be bold. Don't back down.
I haven't taken the time to make a mental list.
Well.
I got to sit on that.
Let me
I don't know. Mike White just moved into it.
Let me help you out. Mahomes is number one. So I have Mahomes 1, Josh Allen 2, Joe Burrow 3, and then I have Jalen Hurts 4, and then I had tied for 5, Tua and Herbert.
Like it.
I've been impressed by Tua. I know he's got a lot of weapons around, but his accuracy is tremendous. So I have been
69.7%.
I've been very impressed by him. We will take a break back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate, tell people on TV where they can go to watch the United States men's national team and maybe set up this clip we have from Taylor Twellman.
So the watch party down in the Power and Light District will begin around 11 o'clock. That's when they'll open the doors. You got to have a ticket to get in. So go to sportingkc.com. Download your free ticket, and I think it'll be a really good crowd today. I think it'll be pretty full, but I don't think it's going to reach capacity like it did on Black Friday for the USA England game, because that was kind of a day off from work. I think most people, you know, people are back in school, people are back at work, so it'll be a good crowd, but not as big of a crowd. So I think you can still come down there. There should be space. So go ahead. If you got time, if you can come down for the 1 o'clock game, download your free ticket and come down and join us in the Power and Light District. I don't have a sheet in front of me with that sound. So
right here,
Taylor Twellman.
He will play when we come back after the 7 o'clock hour at the break, and we'll hear what he has to say. We'll have Matt Beasler in here as well. So we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.